Hello and welcome to the IRPP's Interview the Author series. My name is Nicola Johnston and today we are joined by my guest, Jeremy Leonard. He is a research director at the IRPP for the Competitiveness, Productivity, and Economic Growth Research Program, and he is co-author of the new study, Dutch Disease or Failure to Compete, Diagnosing the Cause of Canada's Manufacturing Woes, published by the Institute for Research on Public Policy. We joined him today in Montreal. Welcome, Jeremy.
Hi, Nicola.
So your study essentially attempts to diagnose the cause of Canada's manufacturing woes in the so-called Dutch disease, which is often cited as a cause. So can you first start by explaining to us the phenomenon of Dutch disease?
Certainly. The name comes from, as you can guess, Holland, which in the late 1960s and early 1970s made some significant natural gas discoveries off the coast in the North Sea. What that did was the rapid growth of the oil extraction sector caused a resource boom for the country, which ended up driving up the value of the Dutch currency, the guilder at the time. What that did was it made it very difficult for manufacturers to export as much as they did before, because with the high exchange rate, their products became more expensive in foreign markets and imports became cheaper. So the result was that the boom in the resource sector actually caused, to some extent, difficulties in the manufacturing sector, and the sector actually shrank in size through the 1970s. This phenomenon has happened in various other countries, but the fact that it seemed to be so pronounced in Holland is where we get the name the Dutch disease. It's essentially to note that a booming resource sector may actually have adverse effects on export-intensive sectors like manufacturing.
But the findings of your study actually say that the impact of Dutch disease on Canadian manufacturers is less than previously thought. So can you tell us what you found?
Yeah, I mean, the thing you have to do is correlation doesn't necessarily imply causation. Now, it is absolutely true that since about 2000, Canada has seen a resource boom of its own, focused mainly on crude oil, the oil sands in Alberta primarily. And we've seen, at the same time we've seen a booming resource sector, we have indeed seen the manufacturing sector shrink in relative and absolute terms. But there are a lot of other things going on in the economy at the same time. Most notably, we've seen in the last 10 or 12 years the rise of China as an important force in the global economy, both in terms of demand for energy, but in terms of its exporting and competing in markets that Canada's exporters compete in. So our model basically tries to isolate the effect of energy-driven increases in the Canada exchange rate, the value of the Canadian dollar, after correcting for all these other factors that are going on in the global economy. So we do that, and the other thing that we do is we look at the effect for 80 specific industries rather than examining the manufacturing sector as a whole, because when you aggregate data up to a very large sector, you sometimes lose some nuances in terms of the impact of the exchange rate on specific subsectors. And what you say is absolutely correct. We basically find that if once you've isolated the impact of energy-induced increases in the exchange rate, it's really only 25 of those 80 industries that we looked at that see a significant adverse effect due to the so-called Dutch disease. And when you add up all of the output that those 25 industries account for, we're really only talking about one quarter of the manufacturing sector that can be said to have a case of the Dutch disease. So it's really a far cry from kind of the conventional wisdom, which is that the manufacturing sector is having troubles recently, which is absolutely true, but ascribing all of those troubles to the boom in the oil patch in the West would be an erroneous conclusion.
So can you tell us then, what about the impacts on the automotive sector?
Well, that's an interesting question, because the automotive sector is often held up as the typical industry that has been very hard hit by the high exchange rate. We actually examined three different subsectors in automotive. We looked at the automobile manufacturing as well as the sub-industries for manufacturing of parts and components, as well as the body and exterior parts of cars. And in each of the three industries, we actually did not find a significant negative effect of the Dutch disease. Now, what does this tell us? It certainly doesn't tell us that the automotive sector is booming in Canada, because we all know that that's not true. But what it does tell us is that there are other factors besides the energy-induced increase in the exchange rate that have caused problems for Canadian manufacturers. And what are those? Well, I come back to the comments I made about the rise of China and other economies into markets. We've seen in the auto sector, for instance, a huge inflow of Korean-made cars, for instance, in Canada and North America. If we look at Hyundai and Kia, brands that were not in existence here 10, 15 years ago and are now serious competitors in both Canadian and U.S. markets. And so these additional competitive pressures have forced manufacturers to adjust to become more productive independent of what's going on with the exchange rate. And this kind of interpretation is what's borne out by our data, which is to say that even if we had not had a resource boom in this country, Canadian auto manufacturers would still be struggling because the issues they're grappling with are in large part unrelated to the exchange rate phenomenon.
Mm. And so what about the policy recommendations for your study? You argue that weakening the dollar directly would be impractical. So can you tell us why?
Yeah, well, I mean, clearly that's if we think that the strong dollar is sort of at the heart of the Dutch disease, then obviously the solution would involve trying to take actions to reduce it. That's much easier said than done. I mean, the one way which was talked about back in the late 1990s when the Europeans had gone to the euro was the idea of fixing the Canadian dollar, the Canadian exchange rate, to the U.S. dollar so that you wouldn't see these fluctuations. But in fact, that was not motivated by keeping the dollar weak. That was actually motivated by strengthening the dollar to encourage these incentives for better competitiveness in the manufacturing sector. So that really isn't the kind of option that we'd be looking at. Another possibility is to try to do as Norway has done, which is to take the energy-related revenues that come into the country and invest them in foreign assets. What this does is it essentially sterilizes the upward pressure on the exchange rate because the Canadian dollars coming into the country are shipped out of the country to be invested in foreign assets. Norway has done this very successfully and has kept their exchange rate within about a 10% band relative to the euro. Now, the trouble of trying to do that in Canada is, as we know, resource revenues are under provincial jurisdiction, and for this policy to be effective, it would really have to be a national strategy. And we saw the effects of trying to have the federal government take revenues from the provinces in the National Energy Program of the late 1970s, early 1980s, and that caused lasting political damage to the Federation. So that really, in terms of Canada's federal structure, that's not an option. And the only possible way is really to try to, if the Canada Pension Plan Investment Board, for instance, were to invest more of its capital in foreign assets, that might at the margin have an impact on weakening the dollar. But there really isn't a practical way to do it.
So what do you suggest then to shore up the competitiveness of manufacturers?
Well, the conclusion of the study is really that the high Canadian dollar, certainly relative to where it was 6 or 7 years ago, is just a fact of life. And given that we can't really do anything about it from a policy perspective, the thing to do is to figure out ways to help Canadian manufacturers adapt and adjust to it. And we've seen evidence from the Netherlands, which has in their initial phases of the development of their resource sector, they actually used the revenues that came in, the increased tax revenues that came in, to make investments in things that would sort of shore up the overall competitiveness of the manufacturing sector. For instance, development of the Port of Rotterdam, among other things. And I think in a Canadian context, the keys are to use the additional revenues that come into federal coffers without impinging on provincial royalties to invest in things like better infrastructure, both for energy distribution and for manufacturing distribution. It's to invest in R&D and innovation. to encourage manufacturers to become more productive. And it's really a kind of broader competitiveness strategy for the manufacturing sector, which often goes well beyond things, investments that the federal government can do. Things like improving or encouraging trade relations with other countries, diversifying trade flows, changing rules about the barriers to entry in certain sectors. Things that increase the competitive pressures on Canadian manufacturers so that they can adjust to the new world we live in, which is a dollar that is in the 90 cent to a dollar range and is no longer going to be in the 60 to 70 cent range. I think that's the only way to ensure that our Canadian manufacturers remain strong looking ahead.
Well, thank you very much for your time today, Jeremy.
It's a pleasure, Nicola.
Jeremy Leonard is a research director at the IRPP for the Competitiveness, Productivity, and Economic Growth Research Program and is co-author of the new study, Dutch Disease or Failure to Compete, Diagnosing the Cause of Canada's Manufacturing Woes, published by the IRPP. The study is available free of charge from our website at www.irpp.org. We reached Jeremy today in Montreal.